Dear Father, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love who you are. I love what you do. I love what you always will be. Now, Father, today we are here presenting ourselves ready to receive the very truths that you hold and want to give to each and every one of your children. You are not a father who withholds good from your children. You are a father who gives to his children. And today, Lord, we want to receive the very precious truths of what it looks like to be your people, sent out, called, living faithfully for you. Father, each and every one of us need to hear this message in certain ways because you are doing great, great things within our church, within our lives. Lord, help us to be in tune with what you want to do through us, what you want to present for us, and who you are calling us to be as well. So, Lord, I step out of the way as I always do every single week. And, Lord, it's not my message that they need to hear. It is your very spirit that they need to hear today. They don't need to hear from a guy with good ideas, but they need to hear the precious Savior, the voice of their shepherd, and by the power of your spirit to be compelled to the good work that you're calling them to. Help us to be that church today. I love you, Lord, and I thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Give it up for the worship team one more time if you could. Leading us into some awesome worship. Hey, give it up for Sierra. Yes, I am her number one fan. She does an amazing job. You know, you guys need to hear from a smart person, so I brought her up here. So glad to have you guys here, man. Good morning. Welcome, welcome. I just want to say one more time, thank you, thank you, thank you for those who came out, celebrated Easter service, Easter weekend with us. I want you guys to know we had a record-breaking attendance, both online and in person. We reached over 600 people, both in person and online. And those online numbers, you know, because we had some things going on, those could be inaccurate, meaning there could be actually more. 459 people were here in person for the weekend. 459 people. And what's amazing about that, yeah. And what's amazing, a lot of you are little, very brand new to Old Brooklyn Campus. There are many of you who have been here since day one, and when it was only 40, 50, 60 people, and to see 459 is like, that was one time a dream. Last week, God made it a reality. Amen. Like that's awesome. But what we want to do in this sermon today, and what I want to present for us for actually the next several weeks, is that it is obvious when we have moments like we had in Easter, it is obvious God is at work in our campus, right? It is not the great, great preacher or leader. I mean, all of that has its place, but it is evident God is working in our campus. And what I want to do is prepare our hearts for what is to come for the near future. Because yes, God is present with us today because he is actually leading us, into what he has been preparing for us for the future, y'all. He's not just the God of today. He's the God of I have much to present and to do for you. And I want us as a church to be prepared and to have our hearts set on where God is taking us. I believe there's big things coming here for Old Brooklyn, y'all. I believe that we're gonna have to open up more services. I believe we're gonna have to get more freaking parking, y'all. Like, I don't know what's gonna have to happen. We're gonna have to knock down those houses and tell them, look, y'all, you know, your time has expired. The Lord is moving. You gotta go. Keep going? No. No, we ain't gonna do that. We might. But, you know, it is just evident, and I don't want to take these moments for granted. I don't want to look at last week and say, man, you know, a packed house, just like, that's like the end all be all. No, what God is calling us to do and to become is more than just to be a lot of people on a Sunday morning. He is calling us to be something much more. And that's what we want to do for today's message, and actually the messages that we're going to have coming up for these next several weeks. But before we jump into today's message in Matthew chapter 9, there's one thing that I know that having a toddlers is that it presents a lot of challenges as a parent. Just parenting itself has a lot of challenges. The one challenge is having toddlers, and really just having children, is, you know, they burn a hole in your wallet. Anybody know what that's like? Somebody tapping their kid like, he talking to you. Right? Anybody just like, you feel, how about this, having children, like, you feel like when you're hungry, when you ever had your mind on something you want to eat, and you go in the pantry, and you notice it's not there because somebody ate all the food, and that somebody happens to be your children? Yeah, some of you know exactly what that's like, you know, and they put the empty box of cereal back in there. Like, are you trying to torment me? Like, what's going on? You know, one thing that's really hard about toddlers is they have this thing called tantrums that are wonderful. Even though I've noticed this, tantrums really never change. They just evolve, right? Like, tantrums really don't go away, because, you know, there's teenage tantrums, right? Hey, there's adult tantrums. You ever notice that, you know? But, you know, when they're little, you know, it's just, he's just screaming. The other day, my five-year-old was having a moment. And, you know, our pediatrician says when he has a moment, just don't give it attention. And, you know, I just want to take him by the shirt. No, anyway, keep moving. I gotta have a job by tomorrow. He's just having this moment, and he just goes going on and on. And my wife looks at me, she's like, man, I think he's hungry, right? And, you know, we said, are you hungry? And he's like, yeah. And so we finally feed him, put some food in his stomach. And as soon as we put food in his stomach, as soon as we gave him some carbs and some fats, and as soon as we did all of that, he got done eating. He says, all right, guys, you guys ready to have a good day? And I'm like, really? Like, after you just screamed bloody murder for 30 minutes, now you're feeling better. But in that moment, he was just really, really hungry, right? He was throwing a tantrum because his stomach was on empty, right? And you ever suffer from hangriness? You ever suffer from hangriness? Anybody, when you're hungry, you get real angry, right? Right? But as soon as you put some food in that body, everything changes, right? And, you know, when I think about this idea of hunger, I think about the world. You know, for a lot of us, when we look at the world, there's a lot of tantrums going on, right? There's a lot of tantrums of what we see going on the news. I mean, you turn on the news, there's always something going on in a foreign country that brings us to great stress, right? Right? There's always something going on in the White House that you don't like. Again, right? There's always something going on, and there's things, and there's a lot of just stress. And for a lot of us, we can take a step back and we can look at them and say, man, the world, our lives, is full of brokenness, and everything and everyone is jacked up. Right? That's for a lot of us, right? That's kind of what our mindset goes to. You know, the brokenness of this world, we're prone to be super uber negative because of just what exists. But here's the one thing that I believe that the scripture wants us to look at when we see the brokenness around us, even within us, because we're all really good at seeing the brokenness outside, but a lot of us have a hard time seeing the brokenness that's happening inwardly as well too. That what all of this is pointing to, the tantrums of this world, the tantrums of our own lives, is all pointing that we're all hungry for God, right? There's a hunger for God out there. I mean, I think that's happening more. I think people are seeing the constant disappointment, the constant betrayal, the constant brokenness. All of this is pointing to a hunger for God. And as a church, we're called, and I just want to just lay this out, just kind of the theme for the next several weeks. As a church, we're called to look at the world and not say, look how broken it is, stay away from it. As a church, we are actually called and say, this is nothing but pointing to a need for God. That's what this is. And our job as a church is not to run from the need. Our job is to be attentive and to embrace the very needs the world has and is presenting more and more. And that's what we're called to do. And that's what we're set up to do more and more. You ever go to a restaurant and let me just give a little story, a little backstory. You guys ever heard of the melt? You guys remember the melts? That it was the gourmet grilled cheese. I think they shut down. I actually think they're closed. I remember the first time I went. Who would have thought gourmet grilled cheese? Who would have thought? Like, never thought that. You know, I thought grilled cheese was just Wonder Bread and just cheese, and that was it. That's what I thought. Right, the first time I went to the melt, we had a cinnamon grilled cheese sandwich, and it was amazing. Right, the food was great. Right, and so several years later, my wife and I we went back to the melt, and we got food again, and the food was awesome. But this time, the service was awful. Right, the food was great, but the service was awesome. I'm awful. But here's the one thing about me. When I have bad service, I turn into a Karen. You ever heard about these Karens? Right? Can I speak to your manager, please? Yeah, I'm that guy. Yes, I will. I am that guy. If you want this 20%, I need something better. Right? You know, I'm the black Karen. That's what they like to call me. I don't care. Say what you want. I don't care. You know, the service was awful. The food was great. And sometimes I think people have a problem with the church, not because what it has to offer is bad, but the service is bad. Right? Right, the food is great. The food itself, it fills, it's filling, it's nourishing. It gives life. But its servants and its services have been off, right? And sometimes, and here's what I think God is calling us. God is calling each and every one of us to show the world and give the world a better version of Christianity than it has been getting. I believe that's God's call for each and every one of us, not just the staff members, not just only certain individuals, but to each and every one of us participating in this individual call, that people need to see a much different and better version of church than what they've been getting. Because here's the truth, friends. Yes, there is a hunger for God, and I talked about it last week in my sermon, and I'll bring it up again. There's a hunger for God. The problem is we are trying to find God in the wrong places. That's the problem. There's a hunger for God, but we are trying to find God in the wrong places. The church is called to point people to the true and living God. That's where our calling is. So that's what we're going to be looking at in Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, let's open it back up. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. This is Jesus, middle of his ministry, Gospel of Matthew. This is what he writes. It says this, "And Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness." Verse 36, now if you were with us in our last sermon series in the Gospel of Mark, you would understand this familiar language Jesus is about to say. Last time we heard this in verse 36 was actually when we preached on the feeding of the 5,000. This very language matches up. It says this, verse 36, "When he," Jesus, "saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful.'" This is beautiful. "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest." Let's paint this picture, and then let's draw some application. Let's draw in context. Jesus' ministry was always on the road. Jesus' ministry was not in a building. Jesus' ministry was not going to one place all the time and calling that church. Now, I am not trying to discredit what we do on Sunday. I am not trying to take away from what we do on Sunday. I am not trying to say you shouldn't go to church on Sunday. Believe me, a church, it should be a part of your life. It is essential to live out the Christian walk. But I love that Jesus, his ministry was always on the road. And the one thing Jesus was really good at doing, he was really good at being around people who were broken. Jesus' ministry, he was busy with people who were in need, right? He was busy being with people and being surrounded around people who Matthew describes, and as the gospel, other gospel writers describe, as helpless, as harassed, as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was really good at identifying the very needs of that day. And what does he do? How does he meet the needs, right? Right? He gives them and he presents to them spiritual truths, the teaching of his word, right? One thing that you see Jesus do more than the miracles is his teaching and preaching, right? We always love to give weight to the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000, the raising up of the dead little girl. You know what Jesus did even more of? And the gospel writers say he gave them the good news. He knew what hungry people need is to be fed the very truths of God, right? And I love how it says, I love this. I love how it says, again, if you were with us in the last series, it says Jesus looked at the crowds and he had compassion. Anybody remember what that word means? You probably didn't take down notes. I understand you fall asleep in my sermons. It's okay. Anybody remembers the Greek word for that? Remember the Greek word? No? No? All right. I'm going to teach you a little Greek. Remember, Logan's the Greek guy, all right? I'm not the Greek guy. He's been learning Greek since he was a baby, okay? Came out the womb saying alpha. this word in the original is, you ready? Splotnitsomai. Splotnitsomai. It means from the guts. It says this. Jesus, when he saw the crowd, he didn't just have an emotional response. He had an emotion that moved him to want to give aid and relief to that individual or individuals. He had compassion. One of the great things the gospel writers want you to see is that Christ was able to see people with compassion. See people with compassion. Now, I've noticed this in my own life. The older I get, the less compassionate I become. Anybody like me? The older I get, the less compassionate I become. Because you and I go through this thing called rejection and betrayal and deceit and all of this. And you and I, we have what we call conditional compassion. You ever heard of conditional compassion? As long as you're good to me, I'll be good to you. But as soon as you give me reason, oh, I'm taking full advantage of that. Right? And I've noticed that a lot of the reasons why I spend a lot of my days frustrated, complaining, and discontent, it's not because of my circumstance. It's because my compassion meter has dropped drastically. And instead of having a heart of compassion, I tend to have a heart that's callous towards others. Right? Anybody like me, the people that have greatly annoyed you, you want to avoid at all costs? Oh, y'all woke up after that. Wait a minute. Logan, get the holy oil. Make sure it's hot. We need to bless them. We need to, you know. You have people in your, no, seriously. In all honesty, there are people we want to avoid intentionally. And some of us, we kind of justify it and we're okay with it. We say to ourselves, all right, Don, calm down back there. You know? we say, because they did this, you know, that, and I get it. At some point for a lot of us, depending on your context and circumstance, there needs to be a very good boundary that you needed to create. But for most cases, compassion has left us. And one of the greatest ways we can demonstrate God's great goodness into our lives is adopting the compassion Christ was always dressing himself with. Maybe the prayer is today, God, help me to be more splotnitzomai. Help me to have more compassion. That person that, you know, you got that neighbor that comes outside and you purposely run inside. Yeah. Are you that neighbor? No. God, help me to have compassion. That family member that seems to just not get it, and they just always are, that they don't own up to the things that they've done. God, help me to have compassion on them. The very people from your past that, yeah, there maybe need to be boundaries, but every time you think about them, you say to yourself, I don't like that I get angry every time I think about that person. God, help me to have more compassion. Splotnitzomai. Help me to feel that more. And maybe that's the call for us as we move forward into a church. Because here's the thing. The church is full of hard people. You do know that, right? Nobody in this room is clicking on all cylinders. Everybody has tantrums. Some of you had a tantrum this morning getting your kids ready. Some of you had a tantrum on the ride here when the traffic and the person wasn't going 45, even though it's 25. But God, help me to have compassion. Now let's look at this part. This is the next part. This is kind of going to set up where we're going to frame where we're going from here. Look what it says. Jesus had compassion like sheep without a shepherd. Look at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, so Jesus addresses his disciples, not the crowd. Notice the language. The crowd is there, but he probably turns, I'm imagining, I'm just kind of, you know, putting it into the text. He turns to his disciples, the people whom say that they follow him. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, some of your Bibles may say, the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Now, here's what Jesus is trying to do. He's drawing this metaphor of the people that are harassed, the people that are broken, the people that are needy. He says, they are the harvest, whom we call hard. Jesus says, no, this is the harvest, whom we try to avoid. Jesus says, no, this is where God's good work is. Whom we try to write off and say they are no good and of no service to us, Jesus says, this is where I am calling you to. I find that very interesting. See, this idea of harvest, it meant for, if you were a farmer and if you know anything about agriculture, which I know all about agriculture, by the way, but if you know anything about agriculture, a harvest just meant that the crops, that it's ready to be taken, that it has been produced, it has gone through the work, and now it is ready to be occupied, right? The harvest. Jesus says, the people that you see, the hard, broken people that you see, this is the very people I'm calling you to reach. That's what Jesus says. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but here's the problem, friends. The laborers are few. Notice the concern Christ brings up. He says, there's a lot of people hungry for God, but there's not a lot of people willing to serve God. You ever notice that? There's a lot of people who are hungry for God. The people at your job, they're hungry for God. The people in your family, there are people, they are hungry for God. The people that are in your neighborhood, they are hungry for God. Jesus says, the problem isn't the food. The problem is the service and the servers. He says, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers so they can be able to work in this field. Here's the one thing that I want to do as we move forward in this sermon series or in these next several weeks. I want us as a church. Now, for some of you, you have been coming to church only for a short time, and I want to allow you to just sit, receive, and be fed. There's got to be a season of that. There's a season where you're new to church, new to faith, kind of just coming out of certain things, and you just really need to sit. But for a lot of us, we have to start thinking church not as just something I do on Sunday. We have to start thinking of church as more than just a gathering, but rather church, according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not about what I do on Sunday, but it's about who I'm becoming. Who am I becoming? Am I becoming the person that just is checking the boxes and ready just to sit here on Sunday to be entertained and swayed, and hopefully the pastor's got a good enough message to encourage me, and if not, then maybe I'll look somewhere else. Or you have the heart and the compassion ready to say, I want God to send me into his good work he has for us. As I stated in the beginning, church, Cleveland, Parma, Brunswick, you name it, all around us, all stretching all the way to Brooklyn, old Brooklyn, there is a harvest. There is a people hungry for God, and it is going to require you and I to say this. Are we willing just to be a church that just comes just to come, or are we willing to be a church that's willing to be sent? Are we willing to be sent? Are we willing to go to the places where God is at work? You know, the one thing that I've noticed that a lot of you want to do is that every individual wants in this room today, no matter if you've been a Christian for 2 weeks or for 20 years, everybody wants to grow closer to God. Everybody. Everybody wants their relationship with God to increase. Now, there's a lot of things that get in the way of that. There's a lot of things that distract that. There's a lot of things in all of it, and I get that. But much of us, if not all of us, have this desire to grow closer to God. But can I tell you, friends, there is nothing that draws you closer to God more than opening up your hands to God and say, use me, Lord. I am your servant. Call me to where you're calling me today. Because here's the thing, friends, it's in the service of God is where we actually grow closer to God. The times that I felt close to God hasn't been when I've been in my back porch reading my Bible. Yes, I love those moments. It hasn't been just when I turn on worship music in my car, blasting it on 10. Yes, I experience God. But the one way I experience God is when I say yes to him. It's when I say, you know what, Lord, I want to live this adventure of faith with you. I want to walk with you. I want to go to where you are calling me to go. I want to feed the very people that are hungry for your word, that are hungry for your presence, that are hungry for your truth. Because at the end of the day, the good work God wants to do in you, the good work God wants to do in you, the great gift of that is more of God. That's the great gift, right? For some of us, we got us. I know that sounds very kind of like challenging, but I'm your pastor and I love you. But we need to move our faith from more than just what I do on Sunday to God, what are you doing through me every day? How do you want to work through me every day? And what I want to do is I want to talk about three ways of how we can start getting in the rhythm of that more and more. Number one, take it down notes, write this down. We need to start preparing for the harvest. We need to start preparing our hearts. We need to ask God, give me a hunger to desire what you desire. Give me a hunger to desire what you desire. Because in order to really reach people, we got to equip ourselves to do that. Right? right? In order to reach people, in order to serve people, we gotta put ourselves in positions that help us to grow, right? Right? Growing is important, but growing is not just for the sake. Listen to me, friends. Maturity, spiritual maturity, is not just for you, but it's also for the people around you. Think about how much people are blessed when you get better. Think about how much your family is blessed when you are growing in your knowledge and understanding, in your skills, in your walk with Christ. Right? It is not just so that you can just strut around and say, look, I read my Bible, but so that people can see Christ in you and through you and be drawn to him because God is at work in you. We got to commit to this growth aspect. We have classes here coming up, right, that you said yes class. I really want to help. I'm going to be teaching that class. Help people to understand, what is Christianity at its basics? What do we believe? Why do we believe it? And how do I walk out this belief? How do I live out this belief? We have certain Bible studies that many of us lead and that many of us do. Men's group, Logan's group, the young adult group. I mean, you name it. There are stuff out there for you to be a part of. And it's for the sake of this, so that you can bless other people. Right? We got to prepare for the harvest, right? We got to prepare for the great opportunities God's going to present to each and every one of us. Like Jesus, it says he was teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing every disease. In the same way, Christ is calling us to commit to teach others the work he has done in and through us, to proclaim that he alone is the source of good, and to help others through the giftedness that he has given us. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have what they call a spiritual gift. I'm not talking about the thing that you have a good ability. It is the giftedness God has given to you to make much of him. To make much of him. And when you and I occupy those gifts, we actually demonstrate the very presence and power of God. When you and I use our spiritual gifts, the very thing God has given to you, not that you earned, not that you worked for, not that any of that, it is a very gift. Just as much as salvation is a gift, he has given you the gift so that you and I can very much present to the world God's very presence and power in our lives. Now, I want to get a little bit more application to this. For those who are part of this church, for those who call this church home, I want you to know this is something I want for us to be convicted and to be thinking about as we move forward. If this is a place you're just visiting, we're glad you're here. We want to keep loving you and serving you, and hopefully you can call this place home. I think that for the next 5 years, I want to set up a five-year plan. I want to baptize over 200 people. 200 people, right? 200 people claiming faith in Jesus Christ. The eight last week was just a foreshadow. The eight last week was just God saying, I got more. But are you willing and ready and humble enough to serve the more, right? As a church in 5 years, I want us to grow by to 600 people a week. 600 people. I know that's a daunting task. You didn't clap for that one. But I know that's not. Some of you are like, hey, man, hold on, wait a minute. That 200. I can do that 200, but six? Hold on, bro. Hold on. You know? That means that as a church, we're going to have to open up new services. Right? Right? We do plan on opening up new services. This fall, we're going to open up a third service, probably a weekday service. Probably make it like a Thursday night service or Wednesday night service. We're still trying to figure that out, right? Maybe that's the place God is calling you to either attend or maybe just serve at, right? Or maybe this next thing, maybe we need to get in the rhythm of praying. We need to pray for the laborers. Number two, we need to pray for the laborers. Notice Jesus says, ask therefore the Lord of the harvest, Who does the harvest belong to? The Lord. Ask therefore the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers. Here's what I'm asking you to pray for as a church. I'm asking you to pray that God would raise up leaders and raise up great men and women to be champions for Jesus Christ as we move forward. That's the prayer that we're going to need, right? Because here's the one thing that I've noticed. Healthy leaders, right? A healthy church, I'm sorry, begins with healthy leadership, right? And for some of you, for some of us, God is going to call us to this moment of prayer and just asking God, help people to serve you in a specific way. It's gotten to the point where we've grown so much that we've actually had to, we're going to hire new staff, right? We're going to bring on some more staff members. And it's gotten to that point. And we realize that as God continuously brings new people, we're going to need new leaders, right? We're going to need new leaders, right? And we're actually actively in the process of doing that, moving forward. And I wonder what would it look like for you to partner with God and say, Lord, raise up the right person and the right people to go out and do the good work. Because God will always bless the efforts for his name's sake. He will always bless our efforts. And number three, last one before we close. Got a short one for you today. To participate. This calling, listen to me, friends, this adventure of faith, it's going to take all of our efforts. Here's the one thing that I want to say, and I will stand emphatically on this. People push back on this every single time, but I will stand on this. The church cannot be built on me. It can't be. It can't be built on a preacher. It is going to take a collective effort from each individual, each person, each person in the body of Christ to come together and to say, this is what God wants to do in and through our lives, and I want to be committed to it. Because here's the one thing that I've noticed is that if you look around this room, there's a lot of differences in this room. And one thing that we have to our advantage as a church, God will use our differences to his advantage, right? You look around at a church, we have Hispanics, we have blacks, we have whites, we have tall, we have short, we have them all. We got them all, y'all. Right? And God's going to use our different contexts, our different backgrounds, our different experiences, our different, all of those things. What makes us the church is that when we come united together and we say to ourselves, at the end of the day, the good work that matters is the work for the kingdom of God. The good work that matters is that God continuously uses us together, which means this. And this is going to hurt. There's no sideline Christianity. There's no sideline, right? God is calling us all to be players on the field, right? God is calling us all to be on the field, to be at work, to be in our position, to be in our spot. Some are quarterbacks. Some are receivers. Some of you, unfortunately, you got to be the punter. But anyway, we're all a part of this. We're all in this together, and I know this. God does great work when the church is unified in mind and purpose. This is what it takes, friends. Listen, last week Easter, we got so excited, but you know what I'm even more excited for? I'm even more excited for how we can develop new people who have said yes to God. See, some of us, there's two yeses. There's the yes of salvation, right, which is a gift from God, and only God can give that. That's the moment when you realize you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you say, Lord, I call on you as my Lord and Savior, and I believe and I trust you with all my heart, and I believe that Christ died for my sin so that I may live eternally with you. But then there's the second yes. And that second yes is saying, because of the gift of salvation, I want to devote my life of leaving a legacy of faith. I want to devote my life so that my family can be blessed through this church. You know, some of the greatest blessings God has ever given me has been through this church, friends. The greatest way God has grown me has been through this church. The greatest way God has challenged me has been through this church. The greatest way God has tested me has been through this church. And one of the greatest ways God is blessing me is to see my little boys run in the halls and they get to grow up in a place like this. What would it look like? What would it look like, friends? Some of you have grandkids that come here. It starts with us. Some of you, you got your toddlers that come. It starts with us. It starts with us saying, I want them to see churches more than just with mommy and daddy or grandma and grandpa coming on Sunday. It is letting God shape us into who he has called us to be. And that's the harvest. That's the good work God wants to do in our lives. So today, some of you have said yes to Jesus. But now, the question is, have you said yes to what Jesus wants to do through you and in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be compelled to realize this message, this very message, is a timely one because it's one that reminds us that you are a God who longs and seeks to meet people where they are. And you want to use broken vessels like you and I to do that very work. For some of us, Father, this message is timely because for a lot of us, we've heard your voice calling us to do more, but we've chosen to ignore it. For some of us, we needed this reminder of the great purpose that you have set out for us. Wherever we are on this spectrum, wherever we are, that I pray that your spirit would compel us to be passionate about the good work you want to do. Pray that your spirit would move us towards, God, where is the harvest? Wherever the harvest is, that's where I want to go. Wherever the people that are hungry for you, lead me to that. Lead me to that, Lord. And whatever it may take, Lord, whatever it may require, I'm willing and able to equip and prepare myself for the good work that you want to do. Lord, I just want to be a church that lives out the adventure of faith. I want to be a person that at the end of my life, they can say I got a lot of things wrong, but the one thing I got right was serving God. There's a lot of things that I dropped the ball on. There was a lot of people that I disappointed. But there's one thing that I was passionate about. There's one thing that I showed up for week in and week out. It was my service to you. Lord, I love you. And I honor you. I pray that people would give you that second yes today. In Jesus' perfect name is who we pray. Amen.